Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Mothering is a hard job, and having a job when you're a mother is also difficult. And we want to talk a little bit about mothers in the workplace. This is a topic that really has to do with parents in the workplace. And I don't want to leave out dads who do the mothering job and dads who obviously are involved with their children, because it's more and more you see parents are really taking a 50-50 approach to those parenting issues in the home. But with us to talk about this is Chicago's own Andrea Kramer. She's a lawyer, speaker, and trainer, and she focuses her entire career on these issues of discrimination and gender bias in the workplace. She and her husband, Al Harris, have authored three award-winning books on gender bias. The latest is called Beyond Bias, The Path to End Gender Inequality at Work, which is an excellent book. Andy, thank you so much for joining us on this Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to you.
Why, thank you so much, Karen. Glad to be with you.
Now, as a practical matter, do women still take on more of the child-rearing tasks?
Absolutely. Interesting that you led with more towards 50-50, because it turns out that the surveys and the studies show that men are reporting that they're spending more time with their children and that they are splitting 50-50 with the women, except that when the same women are surveyed, they say that they're doing at least two-thirds of all of the child care. And so there seems to be a disconnect in the perception as to who's rowing the boat the most.
Oh, that's really very, very interesting. And, you know, how big of a factor, you know, we have talked in the past when I've had you on the show about how women are paid less than men and how women are not being promoted as men are, you know, and it's just it's a fact. But what part of child rearing is responsible for those statistics?
Well, it turns out that a lot of this has to do with the stereotypes and biases that we all have about women, men, leaders, caregiving. But the studies show that women, because women do more caregiving than men, they have more responsibilities outside of work. And so the men have more time that they can devote to work. And so, again, looking at some of these studies, what they show is that at the entry level, women and men are on about the same par of compensation, but women are doing twice as much of the child rearing as men do. And when it works its way up to the senior levels, what we find is that women are doing 52% of the child care, child rearing, while the men are only doing 13%. And so what happens is women earn less because they are available less in many situations to, you know, to row the boat. And even those who are available make less money because of the stereotypes and the biases, which assume that somehow women, if they are mothers, are spending more time and caring more for their children than they do about their careers. Sort of a really interesting point, Karen, is that when a woman has a child, she is viewed as less valuable to her workplace. But when a man has a child, he's viewed as more valuable. So think about that on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And why would that be? Just because the assumption is that the mother is going to be the one, there's a presumption that the mother is going to be the one doing the lion's share of the work, and therefore she is going to not be working as hard. Is that the summary?
That's the assumption.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's just talk briefly about the law so everyone knows this. Can an employer ask you if you have children, either a man or a woman?
Technically, no. They're not supposed to. Obviously, it can come out in the context of a conversation, but technically, they're not supposed to ask you that question.
You know, I have a lot of women working for me over the past years, and I always say that the most efficient human being I have ever seen is a mother on her lunch break, because You know, I have seen my secretaries and assistants just go out and do like 17 different things in a period of an hour. And it's just amazing how they can multitask and get their work done. But so I don't think I have that bias against people who have children in the workplace. But do you think that employers still prefer not to hire women who have children if they had their druthers?
Well, the studies do show that they would prefer to hire men or women without children.
Interesting. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about remote working, and I do want to talk about that new study that came out showing that childcare costs people more than housing. We're here with Andy Kramer. She's the author of Beyond Bias, The Path to End Gender Inequality at Work. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back. We're here with Andy Kramer. She is an expert on the issue of gender bias and discrimination in the workplace. So, Andy, this happens to both parents, but I'm just going to focus on when it happens to a woman because we're talking about Mother's Day today. I want to talk. So your child is ill and you have to go pick the child up from school and you get the call and you got to go. So what do you say to your boss? Do you tell your boss that's what you have to do? And is there some other way to say it that would make it more palatable for an employer, just knowing what you know and all the studies that you've researched?
Well, that's an important question. Interesting that since it is Mother's Day, we're talking about moms, but very often if a dad says, I have to leave now because I've got to go to my kid's soccer game, everybody applauds, what a great dad. And if a mom were to say, I have to leave to go to my kid's soccer game, it's what a loser, she doesn't really care about her career. And so the same behavior is viewed differently. But the question that you asked me is, how do you ask your boss that you need to take your kid to the doctor or you have to pick your kid up from school? In those situations, you have to be focusing on the context of what your job is and the context of your child's needs. If you're the person who's expected to pick up the child and there's no one else around, then you don't have a choice. And if your boss were to say, no, you can't do that, you'd really be put in a bind. Sometimes, though, the assumption is that it's the mom who's going to do the pickup. And the dad might be in a position where he's more available, but the school immediately calls the mom. And I can tell you that in my own experience, we had filled out the forms when our daughter was little that they should call her dad to pick her up if there was anything going on. And they never, ever, ever would call him. So that even though he was listed as the parent to pick up, and that was because he's older than I am and his job was more flexible at that point. But they never, ever, ever would call him. And so I think we have to look at the context as to what the child's needs are. And if you're in the middle of a negotiation or if you're in the middle of cooking the lunch for 200 people at an event center, that's a very different conversation than you would have than if you had a situation where it was more flexible.
So women, were working remotely during COVID and taking care of kids at home who were out of school. And I hear a lot of women say, gosh, I wish we could go back to working remotely. It was so much better. Just as a practical matter, and this may not have anything to do with gender bias, and this applies equally to men. If you want to work remotely, just for one reason or another, you don't like the commute, you can better take care of your children, whatever it is, how best to ask your boss, and how would you negotiate that with your boss to try to see if you can do that? What would you recommend that people do?
Well, whether you're a woman or a man, you have to make it about the job and not about yourself. And so what you would need to do is say that you believe that you would be more efficient, that you could work without a loss of your productivity, that you would stay connected so that you would not have a loss of collegiality with your colleagues, and that it would be, you know, it would be advantageous to you, and you're asking for the special arrangement for a reason, except that you have to keep in mind, keep thinking about, make it about the job, because that's really what the employer needs to understand and hear. And as you suggested, if you don't have to commute an hour and a half each way, you actually are going to get a lot more work done than you would
Absolutely.
If you have to commute.
Absolutely. I do see that, but the other parts of it are true also, that you do lack, you know, that collegiality in the office, and, you know, the camaraderie and all of those things can, and meetings can also get skewed when you're emailing people instead of talking to them face to face. So many women, you know, take time off to raise a child, whether it's a year or a whole decade. When they come back into the workforce and they have that resume gap, I want to talk about how to explain that to an employer. And I want to talk about stay-at-home dads that we're seeing a lot more now, and how they deal with their gap in their resume.
Well, those are all really important questions, let's start with the moms first, and then we can certainly talk about the dads. One of the things that we do in our books, where we talk about what women can do to overcome gender bias workplaces, as well as the Beyond Bias book that you mentioned, one of the things that happens is that, again, because of the stereotypes and the biases, the expectation is that women who have children could be a great mom or a great employee, but not both. And so when they're coming back to work, or if they've returned from a leave, then there's an assumption that somehow they've got one foot out the door. And when my daughter was little, I remember having a particular colleague of mine would call me and say, well, I'd like to talk to you about this project at 5 o'clock. And then sort of with a, you know, snotty voice say, well, if you'll still be around. And you have to be able to figure out ways to overcome those sorts of perceptions. What I would do is I would never be available at 5, even if I could have been, assured him that I would be happy to meet with him at 6:30, or if he wanted to meet any time after 7 the next morning, I'd be happy to meet with him then. He lost interest in asking me to talk at 5 o'clock if I'd still be around, because he didn't really want to talk to me after 5 o'clock. He just wanted to sort of rub my nose in the fact that I was a mother with a small child.
Interesting. So when you come back to work and you have a gap, and how do you explain to an employer? I mean, obviously, you know, they may ask, what were you doing? And the woman says, well, I was taking care of 3 children under the age of 5, and, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, but how do you get around this bias that, wow, you really chose your family? And, you know, I'm an employer. It's nice to have a family, but I want someone who's going to be dedicated to their job. With that mentality, how do you get around it and explain it and convince an employer that you're valuable even though you have that gap?
Well, it turns out that, again, going back to the studies show that when women return to work after they've had a career break, that they're actually more committed to their careers than they were before. And that 69% of women have report that after they've had a career break, they've gained a clearer perspective of what they want from their careers, and that they're excited and anxious about, you know, going forward. And so the employers should keep in mind the fact that you're actually looking at it from the upside down, because the coming back to work, women are more excited about their careers, more willing to really roll up their sleeves. I think that when women are on leave, they need to be thinking about what's going to happen when I come back. And what that might mean is that they might stay in touch with their colleagues. I know that leave is when you're off and you don't have to check in, but very often just an occasional check-in with the people who may have taken over your assignments or the people who are responsible for your work. If you reach out to them and you let them know that you're still, you're still breathing, can go a long way.
And what about men who take time off to raise children? How are they perceived by their employers?
Well, because of the stereotypes and the biases that we have about women and men and work and leaders, men can be very concerned about being viewed as not committed to their careers. And so they have to be able to demonstrate that they're ready to ready to be back and back at it. But they have the same, it's the same hurdle that women have, only in the reverse, which is the assumption that the woman, when she comes back, is assumed to have one foot out the door. The man, when he comes back, the assumption is, well, how could he have left in the first place? And so he has to overcome that.
Interesting, interesting. This new stat came out, it was new to me, that childcare can cost more than housing when it comes to a monthly budget. Tell us what you know about these numbers and what does this mean for people in the workplace, women in the workplace, and men in the workplace?
Well, I think you're talking about the recent study from Zillow, which said that people are paying more for child care than they're paying for their mortgage. And it turns out that that's not a new statistic. We have that in actually all of our books, where sending a young child to daycare can cost more than it would cost to send your kid to an in-state school. And sometimes you can't even find a child care, place that you're going to feel comfortable and think is appropriate for your child. One of the problems that we have is that the United States is the only country, the only developed country in the world that does not have federally funded, high quality, affordable child care for available to everyone who needs it, men or women who want to bring their young children. And that puts us at a severe disadvantage from all of the other developed countries in the world. And what that means is that puts an enormous pressure on employers. That are they going to subsidize daycare? Are they going to have an on-site daycare system? Are they going to provide backup child care? What is it that they're going to do in order to make it so that their parents, whether they're women or men, are going to be in a position where they can report for work and know that their child is safe?
It just seems, and this is, we're kind of running out of time here, but it just seems that if we had something that was federally funded and it was a better deal, that everybody would benefit. Employers would benefit because productivity would be better because we had good, safe daycare or childcare. And men would do better. I mean, everyone would do better in that scenario. And I would think that perhaps even, decisions would be made that instead of staying home, because sometimes women say, why should I go to work? I'm going to spend more money on childcare than I'm going to earn or close to it. It makes no sense for me to do that. And then they're out of the workplace. And,
Exactly.
And then they go back to work and they're not earning as much money as their male counterparts. So there's so many parts of this that would improve with some system like you're talking about.
Well, it turns out that the President Biden's Build Back Better plan had an American family plan built into it that would have provided child care, resources, direct support for child care. We did have some child care support in the COVID laws that we had the child care is gone now. It's expired. But it would make an enormous difference, and it would have significant benefits to the entire economy as a whole. As you pointed out, it's not just helping women with young children. It's helping everybody. It's helping the employers, and it's helping the employees.
Andy,
and
I'm going to probably just need you to tell me how we can reach you, and I'm going to just read the name of your book, Beyond Bias, The Path to End Gender Inequality at Work. How can people reach you?
You can reach me at my website, andyandal.com, and it's andyeandal.com.
Thank you so much.
And just send us there. We'd love to talk to you.
Thank you so much, and happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.